this?
Well, if this was 2012, of course, before those new boundaries had taken place, your old district, your new district is part of what old district?
So look at the 7th and see what the 7th
is. Okay, the 7th had, the 10th district in 12 had 2,483.
Okay.
The 7th district had 2,655.
Okay, well, either way, it's a wash.
Right.
I mean, regardless of which one of those is mine, it sounds like it's about the same number. So.
Well, it is, but even the likelihood that your district now, of course, is the old 7th, it's still slightly more even than you had in your previous district. And
so, yeah, it's, I understand the bind we're in. I understand the need for revenue sources. When the governor gave his State of the State address and he was talking about some of the things that he was going to focus the increase in funding on, I was excited. I was clapping. I was standing. I thought it was fantastic. When I got out and found out that many of those things were going to be paid for by cutting this, I got a kind of a sick feeling in my stomach because I hated that it would have to be paid for on the backs of folks that are not able to afford it. Regardless of whether or not it makes sense that they're getting this, they are getting it, and we're taking it away from them.
Well, I want to say, Senior, in as much as we talk about $104,000, I think we hear so many numbers that we tend to then minimize those numbers. But even in the 23rd, that happened to have 1,098 seniors that happened to have claimed this credit, we have to think about it as such that there would be 1,000 people in this chamber in one district that one senator would be accountable to. If we thought about 1,000 people crammed into this chamber, we have to then begin to think about what these numbers mean. I mean, it's not just that it's 104,000, it's not just that it's 1,000. I mean, we have to then really imagine 1,000 people, and that's in one district. That's how many had claimed this credit. And when we talk about that, when we go to the 9,000, the 9,700, I don't know how large of a group 9,700 people would be maybe standing outside the Capitol, but that would be the number of seniors in one district, 9,700 people in one district that would be claiming this credit. So we really have to think about the impact. When we hear 104,000, we hear so many numbers. We talk about numbers in the millions mostly or in the billions. But we really have to think about what that number really means when we think about particular people that are going to be affected by this.
Yeah, it's incredibly frustrating. And I hadn't thought about it, Senator, in the visual sense that you just gave me of what does, 1,000 people look like? What does 5,000, what does 100,000?
That's only one district. We still have 33 other districts to go. And that 1,000 happens to be the least number of rebates that are claimed.
Wow.
One district, 33 others, that's the least number that we would find in any district.
That's a powerful visual and one that makes this vote even harder, actually, Senator, because I hadn't thought about just the sheer numbers of people that this is affecting. And it's so frustrating because, we've talked about the importance of cutting taxes for businesses in the state of Missouri. We've
right.
passed a bill out of here that neither you or I were big fans of that would not only cut taxes for some folks, but raise taxes on others. So we've also passed another bill out where we would send a vote to the people of a sales tax increase. And so I think right now this chamber has decided that we are going to, if our will prevailed, we've got a 1.5 cent sales tax increase.
Right.
And it's those folks on the low income seniors that were also now kind of increasing their taxes.
As, right.
Regardless of how you look at it, they will have a greater tax liability because of this. And that's not true. But they will not get the rebate back that they've been getting. And we're asking them to increase their sales tax with the small income that they have. This is not a vote that I think anyone in this chamber, regardless of where you are on the issue, should take lightly.
I agree. I think it's a very emotional issue, clearly for the seniors that are affected. In as much as we're still having conversation about the fact that they're not paying rent, and we talk about those folks that happen to live in nonprofit facilities that are not paying, those folks actually are not paying anymore. And I think it's important, again, that we clarify that and re-clarify that, that was something that was happening a few years ago that no longer happens. I mean, it was a big deal a few years ago, and clearly it's something that had been remedied at that time. So I certainly don't want that to be part of an argument as to why this rebate would not be important to those. So, Senator, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate it.
All right. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from the 10th? I'm sorry, the senator from the 11th.
Senator from the 11th, do you yield to inquiry from the 9th?
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you.
I've been anxious to talk about this. Thank you.
Huh? I can see. You were leaving. You were almost out of your chair.
First, what's the number for the 11th district?
The number for the 11th district in 2012 was 2,716 seniors.
2,716 seniors.
Right. 2,716. So visually, we have to wrap our mind around these 2,700 people that may be waiting outside the Capitol wanting to create some stir about the fact that they're no longer able to receive services. Of course, most of them can't even afford to come up to Jefferson City from our district is what the unfortunate part is.
I think about those numbers, and I'm a politician like everybody else is here, so that could be almost double in voters.
It could, depending on what district
you're
from. Absolutely.
You know, if you have two people living in a household together, one person gets the rebate because they pay the
right
rent. Maybe not. But, I mean, that's something. These are voters that are seniors that we know typically vote more.
Right. They are.
So I guess I bring that up to the real practical political part of it is if we can't try to say this is a bad idea, like the senator from the 5th, from the humanitarian point of view, maybe we'll try another tactic and say from the pure political thing, it's not a really smart idea to do, because these people are the most vulnerable, who are seniors, who've contributed to developing our state for years, and now get this. That's a staggering number.
It is. And, I talked earlier about the 5th that has 9,773, the 4th, 6,498, but also the 3rd that has 4,827. You've got the 25th that has 6,540. Got a number of them that have over 3,000 in their districts that are able to, and not are just able to claim the rebate, but that happen to have claimed the rebate back in 2012. And so I just think that's something that as members we need to consider as we're talking about, of course, eliminating this rebate. And I want to say again that these programs that we're wanting to fund I'm in support of.
May I ask you about that? That was going to be my inquiry. I was going to ask the senator from the 23rd, but you do serve on the Appropriations Committee.
Right.
These programs are not new programs, are they?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Several of them are provider rate increases for programs, adult community programs, youth programs, DD community programs are developmentally disabled.
But it's not like these programs are getting an increase in funding. They're just going to be funded through this. Is that
sorry,
correct?
Repeat that question again.
Okay, the senator from Clay is telling me there's going to be some increases in there. So I don't know. I guess my question to anyone on there is how dramatic is the increase? I mean, what's the trade-off, I guess, that I'm trying to understand is if we're going to take away this rebate for these folks, are we going to take that money and provide?
Senator from Johnson, there are no cell phones in the Senate chamber. Please remove your phone call outside of the chamber. Senators, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess what I'm saying is if we're taking away their rebate, are we going to put that money in these great programs that will increase their quality of life, or are we just funding it in a different way?
Well, I think, I'm not going to make the argument that actually these programs or these increases are not necessarily warranted.
Okay.
A number of them happen to be provider rate increases, which traditionally in the past I've been typically supportive of.
Right.
For providers that provide the service, of course, I think a few years ago, and I can't remember what the percentage is now, but we were pretty low on the scale as far as reimbursement rates to some of those providers. I think some of them over the last couple of years have then risen. But I am in favor of, if they're able to provide a service, for them being compensated adequately.
And you know, I strongly believe in that, too. I had a bill that came to your Appropriations Committee.
That would draw
quite a bit of money to our state and would make sure providers had the commercial rate. So, I mean, that's a solid, good use of money.
And I know part of the argument is that they have a number of these happen to be going for provider rate increases and not directly to programs. And some of these are programs for seniors and some of them are not. But, you know, nonetheless, they are worthwhile programs that I always support. Mm-hmm. I do. And, I just want it to be that we're not taking the money from seniors.
Well, I guess I'm concerned of where we're taking it. But I'm also concerned about our consistency because we have passed tax credit reform so far. We've done a good job this session to do that. This is a tax credit that we're not reforming, we're eliminating. I guess it would be easier for me to support if we lowered this or something. You know what I'm saying, Senator?
Right.
If we were consistent with the other tax credits that we had that are really in need of reform, what we did on those is that we lowered them.
Right.
We didn't just get rid of them.
Right.
And this one we're just getting rid of.
Well, and that's been an argument among some folks that maybe we need to consider a package that then really maintains the credit for those that happen to be lower income than maybe the $28,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the case, maybe that's something that needs to be considered.
I guess that consistency, I think, would be a better way to go, that we're concerned about tax credits.
Right.
And we're going to lower all tax credits because we don't have the revenue to bring in, and this would have to be one of them as well. But instead, this idea eliminates it.
Right.
And I think that's not very consistent while we're giving we created tax credits for business.
Right.
And meanwhile, we're eliminating for our most vulnerable citizens. And it just isn't consistent.
Well, and I think, too, I want to talk about some of the guidelines. You have to be at least 65 years of age. If you're a single person, you can't have income of more than $27,500 a year. If you happen to be a married couple, you can't have income of more than $29,500 a year. And, in some areas of the state, that is not a lot of money. And in other areas, it happens to be slightly more money than it does, in other areas. But clearly, there has been some discussion on maybe at least reducing maybe the guidelines and not just eliminating the program for renters completely.
Well, I, again, the other part of the consistency that I'm concerned about is that this body passed a massive tax cut.
Right.
So we're going to be cutting businesses, corporations. Everybody got cut on that one. And then we're getting rid of this on the other side of it. And it just doesn't seem to be as consistent if we truly are concerned about how we're going to pay for some of these programs.
Right.
And Senator, let me be the one that brings this up. This was not the idea of the senator from the 23rd. It was not his idea. And I think, I'm sure he supports it, but sponsoring it is what you call leadership. Sometimes when you're the leader of the body, you have to sponsor the tough one. And I admire him for that. And maybe I'm wrong about that, but that's kind of how I see it.
Well, I think we understand originally that it happened.
This came from the governor. This came from the governor looking for ways to fund these other programs, and he should have looked someplace else. That's what I think, Senator. He should have looked someplace else because it's $57 million that are for low-income who need this assistance, who need this tax credit just as much as other tax credits that we have.
Right.
And he should have looked someplace else.
Well, and that's, you know what, as I said earlier, I think some of us in this Capitol may be a lot more insulated than others. I mean, I clearly have had a number of folks, and I even want to go back to the situation 3 years ago where there was only a portion of those folks that had not received the credit. I mean, I have no idea after the seniors who probably are not even aware maybe of this legislation mm-hmm. find that they're not able to claim it anymore, the number, the flood of calls, and the amount
I remember
of folks
that
I'm going to see at home in the grocery store that are then going to be so upset and emotional about the fact that they can't receive it.
Well, I remember that, and I remember, okay, this facility is nonprofit, this one is profit. And
right.
I had to even sort out in my district, oh, okay, right. that's why they're going to get it. And it was hard to comprehend and hard to explain to constituents.
Well, and I had to go talk, of course, at one of the senior facilities in my district because there were so many in that facility who were then upset at the fact that they were no longer able to claim it. They didn't understand why. And so I then did have to go talk to them about the fact that, you know, their facility was, in fact, owned by a nonprofit and they did not pay taxes. And I had to go through the whole litany of this really is a tax rebate. And if you're the owner of the facility is not having to pay taxes, then that wouldn't be calculated within their rent as it would other renters. So as disappointed as they were, it was clearly more understandable because of those circumstances. But when we talk about renters who then pay taxes through the amount of their rent, that makes it a completely different circumstance.
Right.
Right.
Right. So the justification, if right. it passes this time, is, well, no one gets it.
Well, and
no one gets
you
it.
Know what
so
I
would have to justify right. to 2,716 seniors in my district, in the 11th Senatorial District. We decided as a body to have tax cuts for corporations.
Right.
And so we could start to a race to the bottom, be the Me Too state instead of the Show Me state to Kansas, because you had to pay for that.
Right. And you know, the average credit is only $534 for the seniors. And I don't want to keep going back to this list, but I think it's important that the body understand how many seniors actually claim this renter's rebate in their district. You know, in the 18th district, it's 3,000 people. In the 20th district, there's 3,512 folks. In the 25th district, there's 6,500 people, elderly, that claim the credit. The 27th district, 3,700 seniors that claim the credit. The 28th, 3,200. In the 29th, 2,300. In the 30th, 3,149. The 31st, 2,500. So we can go on and on this list. And I just want us to really visualize the impact of those seniors and not just hearing numbers. When we deal in millions and billions, these numbers sound very small, but we really have to think about being in a room with that many folks and understanding what that means to that many different
people. Well, I think your point should be well taken by everybody and every senator who serves in this body. You just named some districts all around the state.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Rural districts, suburban, exurban, everywhere. Numbers are high.
Well, and a lot of
you
those
know, mine's
that I happen to have
I'm
named
surprised.
Happen to have been rural districts.
I'm actually surprised that mine is as low as it is compared
yeah.
to other districts.
Well, mine happens to be 4,343, and I will tell you that initially I was thinking that mine was probably more. But I was then surprised after seeing this list of how many around the state in other rural districts that happen to have almost as many. So I think this list was quite surprising and quite eye-opening for me. I thought that maybe some of those other districts, we may have more, say, with 1,000 or few over 1,000, and I was surprised that many of those districts had considerably more. So,
well, I know that I think that number is really important, Senator. I'm glad that you brought them up. I appreciate you. You could tell I wanted to talk about this because I don't know how we justify it. I just don't know how we justify,
right.
first from a consistency point of view, that we lowered some tax credits. And I tell you what's going to happen as we get our arms around tax credits and we do tax credit reform, there's a lot of people are going to go home and pat themselves on the back, high-five everybody and say, we did tax credit reform. But we didn't reform this, we just got rid of it.
Right.
And then we also have a massive tax cut to corporations, individuals, but these people aren't going to get that rebate anymore.
Right.
And then we are funding programs, maybe increasing some of those programs a bit, but their existing programs as well. So, you know, when we have this philosophy that we have to starve the revenue and give it away on the back door with tax credits, then we don't have any money to do the services that we want. So then we're going to go to the poorest folks in our state and take the money from them for their programs. I mean, I would be perfectly fine if we had a consistent thing that said, listen, we're going to rein in tax credits and we're not going to start spend any more, but we're not going to cut any taxes either because we need to stop the bleeding of our revenue. So that would be more consistent, but we're not doing that. We're reining in tax credits a little bit. We're cutting all the way through, so we're not going to have any revenue come through. And then meanwhile, we're picking on the poorest people in our state, seniors who have built this state.
Right.
And, you know, I'd love to have a discussion with anyone, talk about how valuable they are to the state as a new angel investor.
Right.
You know, and that's a tax credit that I support. But this is just as important, that builds our state, that builds our community, that we should have never gone to this point. So I appreciate the inquiry. I was anxious to jump up because I feel strongly about this. And
thank you.
Thank you for the
inquiry. For your inquiry. Mr. President?
Senator from the 9th.
Can I inquire of the Senator from the 14th?
Senator from the 14th, do you yield to inquiry? Proceed.
Thank you,
sorry.
This will be quick. I see that in your district in 2012, of course, there were 5,600 seniors that had claimed the winter credit. It is a lot.
Probably all vote for me, too.
Yeah. Yes, for sure. As I said, that mine happened to be 4,343. Yours happens to be 5,609 seniors that claimed the renter's portion. But we served in the House together, and I wasn't sure whether you remembered a few years ago where they made, what administratively they had stopped giving the rental rebate to those that happened to be in nonprofit facilities. Did you happen to have a number of calls in your area?
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Okay. And it could be that it probably depends on how many facilities happens to be in which district and which of those happens to be nonprofit. The one, the two that I had happened to actually be facilities, senior elderly facilities that happen to be owned by local churches, which is probably, and I don't know how many of those facilities, you know, happen to be in other districts, but clearly mine, having been that they're probably 101 and 100 seniors in one facility and maybe between 100 and 150 in the other, I happen to have gotten a lot of calls. So that was really my inquiry for you. I didn't know whether you had been affected by all of that emotion a few years ago when those folks, when the state then had stopped giving the rebate to those folks, and understandably so. You know, it was unfortunate that they felt that way at the time, but clearly if they were not in a facility that happened to have paid taxes, then I understand that they should not have been given the rebate, but we're talking about a different circumstance.
Well, here's where I am on this. This legislation was first put into law by one of my predecessors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that was in the 1970s,
the one
right?
Who used to stand on the dais and, you know, was the president and was my predecessor and my mentor, actually.
Oh, wow.
She's the one who actually put into law Harriet Woods. And so, yeah, I do.
That was in the 70s? Was that in the 70s?
Back in the day. I want to say 73 because I actually did the research.
I thought 73 or 74.
Yeah, 73, 74. Mm-hmm. I actually did the research on this last year, or I think it was last year we had that roll call vote that was like 17, 16. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the help of the senator from Buchanan, we were able to sustain the renter's portion. And I, you know, this issue is really important. I've already gotten a couple of emails about it from my concerned citizens who know how important this is, the renter's portion. And what I would have to offer in this conversation is that, you know, our seniors are on fixed incomes. That doesn't go away, and it won't go away.
Right.
And what I am nervous about is we have all of these tax burdens on folks who are living on fixed incomes. And, you know, these dollars are not going to waste. And the president and I have sponsored a bill together dealing with fraud and the use of TANF cards. And, you know, I don't think that these senior citizens are you know, going to casinos, or they're going
right.
to
I agree.
Some adult entertainment areas with this money. I don't think that they're doing that.
Right.
I think they're actually using these dollars to make sure there's food on the table. I think that they are using these dollars so they are able to get the prescriptions that they need, and it's becoming more and more expensive. It was interesting the other day. I looked at the cost of milk, and that's gone up. And, you know, when do we stop? That's my question. And we have this bond issue in my district, in my school district right now, $19 million. And it is going to increase our debt burden to about $80 million out of the possible $90 million. And I keep reflecting on this. I'm supporting it because, you know, where we are in rehabbing our schools, there's still more work that we have to get done. But at some point, we have to pay back this debt. And we're going to have to go to the voters again so that we can make sure that all of our facilities are upgraded. And, you know, our seniors are a huge part of our communities. And in my district, I have so many seniors. You know, let me even tell you, all of us, we do targeting in our campaign lives. And I did some targeting in my last election. And I segmented out, you know, the number of seniors in a certain age group. And I wanted to just target the younger folks under 40. And it is amazing, of the entire group of the regular voters, and there are about maybe 13,000 households that are regular voters, only 1,000 were under the age of 40 and under.
Wow.
Only 1,000. And then so I said, well, this is interesting. So then I segmented out those who were between 40 and 50, less than 1,000, who are regular voters, which means that the majority of my voters in a primary are senior citizens.
Mine as well.
And so, you know, these folks that I'm talking about, they remember Harriet Woods, you know, and she was an advocate for not only the poor, but for senior citizens, you know, and that is a tradition that I keep with me. There are a couple of questions. I know the sponsor of the bill was speaking in an inquiry with another senator, and I was in my office trying to get a couple of things done. And I was just going to ask him where these services are going. Someone approached me earlier about this bill and what what their vision is for trying to reservice some of these seniors. And I don't really understand that, but I am not going to support this. I know that there are other senators who stood up earlier and talked about this matter. You know, we don't always agree with the governor, you know. Yeah,
right.
Obviously, I went off on him the other day. I don't care. I mean, I got to represent my district.
Right.
You know?
I think all of us have to.
Has another plan. I just don't know what that plan is, and that's why I want to get some clarification from the senator from St. Charles, and just know what that plan is. But I'm with you. I didn't know what my number was. I was waiting for you to let me know what that was, and it is pretty high. What's
right.
the highest again? You did mention that.
The highest is $9,773, and that happens to be from the 5th. The second highest happens to be in the 25th. which is 6,540 seniors that claim the renter's portion.
I'm right up there.
Right.
So here's the other thing I was thinking about is I wouldn't mind a phase out. Now I don't know what the phase out would look like. Because I think this immediate jump is going to be devastating. And I think for anyone who's ever used the circuit breaker and the rental portion, they would be allowed to continue using it, but no new person would be able to take advantage of the program. And so my thinking behind that is, let's see what the governor's talking about. Let's implement that to see how it works out as we're phasing out. And then if we have to do an immediate push up, because whatever the governor's plan is useful, then maybe we do that. But, you know, just immediately taking that away. And here's the other thing. I mean, who is supporting the community? These renters are still supporting the community.
Yeah, they are.
They're still supporting the community. I remember the first time I ran for office, you know, I went to a forum and someone was speaking to me about the reason why it is important for senior citizens to care about our public education systems. And it is because they care about obviously the community, they care about the schools, they care about the livelihood, they care about the environment. In my district alone, I have 35 nursing homes. I've gone to all of my nursing homes in my district, and I know that, you know, just a lot of this is burdening those who may be going to nursing homes. They don't want to go to nursing homes. And I frankly, you know, we have to logistically think about this, you know. Are we pushing people into nursing homes? And if we are pushing people into nursing homes, how much more is that going to cost the state of Missouri?
Right.
So this I would like to know, you know, how many people this helps to stay in the community, because I don't know if your community looks like mine, but I've been seeing a whole bunch of vacant homes.
Right there.
And it's devastating. It's absolutely devastating. And if we could find people who can live in some of these communities in a home where they're renting it, we know that money is going to go back into the community. It's going to
right.
go back into the municipality. It's going to go back into the school district. It's going to go back into the county. And that's what we want. We always want to be able to make sure that people are able to reinvest in a community. That's why new dollars are always important. Some years ago when I was just a staffer, I remember dealing with let's see, the tourism.
Right.
Tourism. And they were going from whether or not they were going through the determination of whether or not they should invest in commercials in the state or out of state. And of course I wasn't the elected official then, but I just said to myself, you know, why in the world would we advertise, and I don't know what the purpose of telling the story is, but I'm thinking about it, so I just want to talk about it. So why in the world would we do commercials in-state when it's recycling dollars, you know? Why don't we just do commercials out of state? Because just the other day I saw a commercial for California, you know, and, you know, I've only gone to California a few times, and you know, having new revenue when people come visit for a hockey game or for a Cardinals game, there are many, many people who come from out of state, and they spend their dollars in the community. Those dollars go to the city of St. Louis, or if you're the Chiefs, it goes to Jackson County.
Right.
And ultimately somewhere there's a portion of that comes into state revenue. Now, those are new dollars that ordinarily would not come into the state, which we need to make sure we have continuously come into the state. But what is always going to be consistent are those people who live in our local communities. That's what's always going to be consistent. And if you withdraw, if you take that away, then that is going to mean that we have to rely more on tax dollars or dollars revenue that comes from other areas, and sometimes that's sketchy. We will not always have that even flow of cash coming in from outsiders. If we are in the World Series again, if this tax credit that the senator from the 15th is doing with the amateur sports, if that works out, that's new revenue, but we don't know if it's going to work or not. It was just put into place. But I am sick and tired of adding more and more burdens to our seniors. I mean, I want to make sure that we have communities that are stable. You know, Mrs. Johnson, you know, God bless her soul. I mean, she's a retired UAW worker. She's my next door neighbor, and I love her. I think she's absolutely amazing. And, you know, she's a stickler. I just love nosy neighbors. She's one of the nosiest neighbors anyone could ever have. And I appreciate her being very nosy. And she has a good pension, of course. But if Mrs. Johnson didn't have a pension and she didn't work for the UAW, I mean, she wouldn't be able to keep her house up, right. And she wouldn't have Rufus, her little cute dog, the Pekingese. Rufus is just so cute, but she wouldn't be able to do all that. But luckily, she does have all of that in place. And here's the other thing: if we took this away, I think that we would be disproportionately impacting older women. And women live longer than men. We already know that.
Right.
Women live longer than men. And you know what my mantra is. Do you remember what my mantra is? I've been talking about my mantra of this year. I'm dealing solely with people who live in poverty this year. Every single bill that comes before us, I am going to take it from the approach of people who are living in poverty. And this bill, even though I understand we need to move from where we are and have a different kind of delivery system when we are serving our seniors, but in this way, it's so abrupt, and it's just going to continuously put those who are already struggling in a greater disposition, in a greater disadvantage. And I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that Mrs. Johnson is in her house, all the nosy senior citizens are in the neighborhood. I love it. I mean, I love that. And, you know, we do have a responsibility.
Right,
you know?
We do.
And again, if we don't approach this stuff without thinking logistically and trying to figure out what is related to other issues, then we're doing a disservice to ourselves. And frankly, you know, these dollars, they may be small to some people, they may be, you know, a huge asset, but regardless of it, it's going to sustain a community. And communities, if your community looks like mine, we're struggling right now.
Right.
We are really struggling.
Mine is.
And
for sure.
I am just so nervous and I'm so scared that if we have another economic catastrophe, you know, what are our neighborhoods going to look like again? I just simply don't have a clue of what a greater devastation would look like. So instead of, you know, I have neighborhoods where the entire block, and there is a neighborhood in my district, there are only 6 houses out of 40 houses that even have porch lights on because all of the rest of them are boarded up. I mean, it's just terrible. And this is real. This is real. So as I've been doing stuff outside of my office in the community on spring break, I was driving around in the district, and I saw all of these vacant homes for rent, for sale, for rent, for sale. So, okay, so this small money keeps people in their homes. And you take that away, and then they can't afford assisted living. They don't want to go into a nursing home. You know what I've been seeing, actually, because we actually have some rental property. What I've been seeing are people, senior citizens, who are, like, I hate to say shack up because that's the wrong term, but there are senior citizens who are doubling up now, and they don't even know each other. They're just like roommates. And after 60 years of, you know, working or living or whatever, being married, going through all of these different things in a person's life. I mean, now they're having to double up. And, you know, I wonder how that just breaks a person's pride to have to go from being in your own house to being in a rental, living in a rental property. And I just... A phase out. I would support a phase out.
Right. So
I just simply would.
I think that's a good idea. You talked about the phase out. I think someone else had talked earlier about just giving the rebate to those who happen to have less income, and I think all of those would be something. As far as I'm concerned, would be agreeable. I mean, I get it.
Here's my question. I'm going to get you in trouble. I'm sorry. You don't have to answer
Uh-oh.
It. Did the governor come talk to you about this bill?
No, he didn't.
Just wondering.
No, he didn't.
Just wondering.
He didn't.
Just
and in
wondering.
Fact, if he had, I would have then talked to him about how important it was to me that I don't have all those seniors knocking down, kicking down my door, and ringing my phone off the hook because they can't get this renter's rebate.
Didn't it just bother you when, it just bothers me when people don't talk to me about something. I'm just a stickler for it.
Well,
I tell everybody I'm not doing nothing unless you talk to me.
Well, it's not that I, expect to be talked to on every issue, but I think this is one that happened to be such an emotional issue for the last couple of years that I think, probably would have warranted a little more discussion, I guess, at least among our caucus. But, Senator, thank you so much for the inquiry.
Thank you.
Senator from the Barton, what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm would like to inquire the senator from the 14th.
Senator from 14th, do you yield?
Thank you, Senator, and I apologize that I'm unable to turn around and look you in the eye. You said something during that last debate that I just would like to have a little clarification on. You talked about your mantra for this year.
Yes.
And you said it's to approach everything from the perspective of poverty. Is that right?
Of people who live in poverty, yes.
Okay. And I want to clarify because there are actually a couple of things that are somewhat related, except that I don't think they should be related in that arena. One is that there is a perspective of poverty and there's also a perspective of dependency. So are you talking about the perspective of dependency or the perspective of poverty?
No, I don't understand dependency. I anyone who is dependent on anything, I have just a very low regard. I think people should not be dependent.
Even on the government?
I do believe people should be helped. I do believe that, from everything I've learned in my life, that when people are in despair, you should help them. And that's what the church teaches. But people who are dependent and reliant, I don't support that at all. And I've never supported that. People who are generations after generations on welfare, I don't support that. Absolutely not.
Okay, well, I'm having trouble
never have.
Distinguishing. Okay, because do you think the people that will be affected by Senate Bill 350 are dependent on something that's going away? Or I'm not sure...
It's to help sustain their lives. It's not dependency. These people are struggling. And I was going to tell the senator from the 9th.
So they're not dependent on it?
They are trying to be helped to sustain their lives.
No. I understand. I'm not disputing that, Senator. I am just, I see a distinction between poverty. I've known a lot of people who were poor, but were not
dependent. Let's take away all the tax credits then. Let's take away all the tax credits because I think that a whole bunch of developers are dependent on these tax credits.
I don't disagree, Senator.
Then let's do that. Let's all zero them all out, all of them.
Right.
Because they're dependent.
Yeah, well, and not only that, I think that it's just very bad policy when the government picks winners and losers and robs from Peter to pay Paul. Do you agree?
Well, here's the thing I'm upset at. The governor didn't come to my hood. He didn't come talk to people living in poverty. He didn't come talk to not one of those 5,600 people in my district. And I just implore him, come to my district to talk to some of these people who live in poverty. And I welcome you, and I hope that you welcome me to your district, because there's some issues that you care about I have no clue about, Senator, because I'm not from your district. But I am here, and as I said yesterday, and I stand by what I said yesterday, the bottom line, the the first thing that I have to do, which is so fundamental, is at least understand your perspective. And it may not be this issue, it may be another issue. And so what I am trying to explain to folks is please understand where my people are coming from.
Senator, I don't disagree with that. And I think that's exactly why we're here, is to represent the perspective of the people that we represent. I'm just was asking for clarification because I don't see poverty and dependency as the same. I see them as very different.
Yes.
They often are linked together because when we feel like we're in poverty, we more readily accept dependency. But I don't think they're the same, and I just want to be sure if you were. I want to clarify whether you're talking about approaching things from the perspective of dependency or from poverty.
I don't know what dependency looks like. My family has never exercised dependency. So I can't tell you what dependency looks like or feels like because we've always had to work for everything that we've ever had. So I say that I'm talking about poverty, and I do believe that dependency is different from poverty, but I can't explain to you what dependency is because I've never exercised that.
Okay, well, I have a view of what it is. It's when I'm dependent on somebody else, I guess, and without that,
and I try not to depend on other people.
If that provision went away, then I would not be, then I'd be inadequate. But I was just trying to make sure that I understood. I think those are two different perspectives.
Yes.
I think approaching them from one often gives a completely different answer than approaching from the other. And I appreciate you taking the inquiry.
Thank you so much, Senator.
President.
I just don't know what dependency is.
Any other senator desire to be heard on Senate Bill 350? Seeing none, Senator from the 23rd is recognized to close. You're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know this is a difficult decision, and there's more I'd like to say, but I think probably the best thing to say right now is that I renew my motion.
Senator from the 23rd renews his motion that Senate Bill 350 be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill has been perfected. Senator from Newton.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to order the business of messages from the House of Representatives. I ask that the Secretary please read the message.
Under order of business and messages from the House, Madam Secretary, please read the messages.
Mr. President, I am instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and passed House Committee Substitute House Bill 128, entitled An Act Relating to Property Tax Bills. Also, House Bill 133, An Act Relating to Reinsurance. Also, House Bill 212, An Act Relating to Secured Transactions. Also, House Bill 329, An Act Relating to Residential Real Estate Loan Violations Reporting. Also,